him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Grab a Bible. Praise the Lord. And we are in the book of Luke this morning. Luke and chapter 2. And I want to spend all these four Sundays in December looking at the Christmas story. And doubtless it's familiar. If it isn't, well, it should be after this week. Praise the Lord. I'm finding it's familiar. In fact, I'm using again the outlines I had from last year. And so if you want to follow along, I'm going to try and get them on screen as well this morning. We want to look here at different accounts that follow again the Advent candles. I'm not big on Advent, but I do like the scripture reading and the progression that they follow with that scripture reading for the Advent candles. And so notice again that we have them there on the screen. There's a prophecy candle, and then there's a Bethlehem candle, and then there's a shepherd's candle, and then the angel's candle, the Christmas Eve, we do the Christ candles. Normally they have little formal lighting ceremonies. We're not big on candles around here because the Catholic Church tried to sell them to people to get souls out of purgatory, and so we've been nervous about candles as Baptists all this time, but praise the Lord. We can, again, draw some things out of these to, again, be just worshiping and watching things go here through this Christmas time of the year. So let's begin in Luke chapter 2. And I trust, again, this is a familiar portion. We don't have enough people to act out the Christmas story or put on a Christmas program here. But I've always loved that, and some of you have been involved in Christmas programs, Christmas plays. I have, ever since I was 8 years old, I've been in a Christmas play like every year. We put some on as a youth pastor, and again, there's just something about Christmas that I love. And one of those is picking out, one of the top characters I always loved being was a shepherd. And so you didn't have to dress funny to do that. You could wear an old bathrobe. And so as we go through this study again, we've jumped a little bit. Rather than look at Bethlehem, we're going to look at the shepherds as they come. And then next week we'll look at the prophecy of Bethlehem. Our Sunday school lesson, in fact, was very good out of Ezekiel, talking about the shepherds. And we'll look even more depth into that. It's interesting that God chose shepherds to be his heralds, and now God has sheep as his heralds. And so let's go ahead and look at that in a little more depth here today. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're in the book of Luke in chapter 2. We'll start our reading in verse 8, and you follow along in your Bible as I read this familiar accounting. And there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Father, praise you. I thank you again that we could meet to worship together on this Sunday morning, the day that you rose your Son from the tomb to purchase our eternal salvation. Father, I thank you, praise you, that as we enter into this month of December, we've set it aside in order to again acknowledge and to worship that you sent your only begotten Son, born of a virgin, born again in a barn, so that we could again have our eternal salvation. We praise you, we thank you, and pray again, Father, that as we would go through even this month, and as we'd go through each of our Sunday worship services here, that we'd just acknowledge all the more your great love for us in sending your only begotten Son. We'll praise you now and thank you for touching each heart that's here, and causing again, Father, that we could move closer to you even this week because of our time together in worship of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this account here, and you'll notice again that the shepherds were this. They were heralds. And here they are to herald again the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about how long this lasted for. Again, they heralded for 33 years before Jesus began his public ministry at 30 years. And then again for 3.5 years in his public ministry. These shepherds who had seen these angels were still heralding. They were still talking about. And when John the Baptist came, as he was promised again, and started preaching, there was all these people still talking about, still pondering, still wondering. Especially we saw there that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Sometimes in our Bible reading, we lose track of time. But this went on again for 30 years before Jesus began his public ministry. And so let's examine a little bit about the angels that we consider here. We want to explore some things about shepherds and their angels that appeared to them. First off, again, it's curious that the shepherds were abiding in the field by night. And I think, again, this is the greatest witness we have to when the Christ child was born. And so it makes sense to me that the shepherds abode in the field at night during lambing season. Lambs only come one time of the year, again, and that's in the springtime when all the lambs are born. And the shepherd stay out in the field. And so it makes perfect sense to me that at this Passover time, that's when all the lambing season was. That's when the shepherds are in the field by night. And likely that's when the Lord Jesus Christ would have been born. During lambing season, God sent his Passover lamb. And so I don't mind celebrating it in December because we're kind of busy come Passover time celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, as far as the exact time of the year of Christ's birth, we do not really know. We do know, again, that December 25th was chosen because it was the Roman sun god worshipped on December 25th. At that time, that was the longest night until they got their calendar fixed. That was the longest night. And so if you hear people talking about a midnight mass or talking about staying up to midnight to see if the sun's going to come back, that all comes from the sun worshipers of the Roman Empire. And they, the Catholic Church tried to Christianize that day again and make it Christian. So they decided to try and make that the birth time of Jesus. They didn't care too much what the Bible said about things. And so they had free reign to do anything they want with these holy days. And so when you greet somebody, greet them as a happy holy days. Lots of times they frown on the word Christmas. Whatever you use, never use Xmas. Okay, again, taking the name of Christ out completely. But a Merry Christmas or a Happy Holy Days works just fine for me. And I have noticed in the stores and such as we go to anymore, especially this year, I've even noticed it maybe more so. Last year it showed up quite a bit. Is when the teller tells you Happy Holidays, if you say Merry Christmas, they'll say, you have a Merry Christmas too. And so they'll respond with Christmas, even though it's not politically correct to talk about the Christ. You can worship the God of your choice as long as it isn't the Lord Jesus Christ in our society. So anyway, Christmas is not about trees. It's not even about December. It's not about gifts even, except the gift that was given. But I encourage you to enjoy all the things that are involved here in this Christmas time. We want to spend a little time looking at shepherds. And let me mention first that the shepherds, again, is not the main thing here. The main thing is Christ's child. And it's important that we take efforts to keep Christ at the center of our Christmas, His birth. I just went through a bunch of verses here in one of my book reviews and said, the important thing is that we believe in the Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. What's it mean to believe in Him? Well, John explains that in his last chapters of his book. He says you've got to believe that the only begotten Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, that Jesus, the Savior of men, is the Christ. Remember when the disciples first found Him? I think it's in John chapter 2, if I remember my chapters right. They said, this is the Christ. And then they ran to their friends and said, we have found the Christ, that which being interpreted is Messiah. And so the important thing about Christmas, again, is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we worship, Him as our God. And so today, as we take a branch, we're going to learn something from some shepherds. And the importance of shepherds, it's a big role in the Bible, of course. But here again, that Christ became the Lamb of God. So sheep and shepherds and all of this is tied on continually into our understanding of our relationship with God and even Christ's relationship as our Savior. Christ became flesh. Flesh could not become God. Remember, it's prophesied ever since Genesis 3:15 that there was going to be a Messiah and He would be God in the flesh, the only begotten Son of God. Well, all the pagan religions, when they left Noah and went off and formed Buddhists and all the other Eastern religions, they carried a little bit of truth of that. And if you study any again about the Romans and the Greeks, again, they had all these ideas that man could become God. And so where did they get that from? Well, they get that from the fact that God was going to be made flesh and dwell among us. And they knew it at the beginning, and they plagiarized that and twisted it all up and lost it into Zeus and everybody else that they worship. And so here, again, as we go through Christmas, understand the importance of this concept that God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's a message, again, an outline here that I love to preach, and I probably should dig it out, dust it off, and do it again. But God first required a lamb in Genesis 3:15. That there's going to be a lamb that's given, 21 and 23 in verse chapter 4 and chapter 12. And chapter 22 of Genesis talks again about that we need the shedding of the blood. Without the shedding of, what's wrong with Cain's sacrifice? We just covered that Wednesday. There was no blood. Again, when Adam and Eve sinned, an animal was slain, and the skin of that animal was used to cover them. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Then in the Passover lamb, there was a lamb per family. Let every family have their own lamb. And in Exodus chapter 12, on the 10th day of the month of Abib, they would take that lamb and slay it as their Passover lamb. Then there was a lamb for a nation that's given in the Levitical sacrifices that they would take, and the Day of Atonement, a lamb would be slain for the sins of a nation. And then I love this, in Isaiah 53, God extends that whole concept to the a lamb which is slain for the many. And now here in John, we see that there's going to be a lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And so notice again the progressive revelation of those things. And Christ became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He became both Lord and Christ. And sometimes we lose that. I think we hear the name of Christ in cursing in our society more than we hear it in worship. And so, boy, this Christmas sign, make sure again you put Christ first. And list His name. Don't be afraid of His name because it's on the politically incorrect list. Christ became the first fruits, the Bible says. And so as we consider those things about Christ, let's now examine some things about shepherds. It says in Luke 2, as we read, that there were shepherds, and God revealed the big event, the coming of the King, the coming of His only begotten Son is revealed here in the book of Luke, and it's revealed to the shepherds. And they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. When the Word became flesh, the shepherd became the herald. And so again, as we look at Christ's birth, the springtime again, probably, Jesus, the Passover lamb, being born, it was not likely the Roman pagan sun god's holy day, being December 25th, the longest night in the year, was the actual timing. But again, as we understand it, we can celebrate again that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Three things about these shepherds, and let me go ahead and say that shepherds and pastors is the same word. And so pastors in Greek, the Greek pastors is actually the shepherds. Their name is pastors. Shepherd or pastors is derived from the word of pasture, not pastor, pasture. Okay, different phonics there. And their job description became those that would take the sheep out to pasture became called the pastors, the feeding and the watering and the overseeing of the sheep. We're very familiar with Psalms 23 in that regard. They had shepherds had the, here is the heralds again of God's message. They had the time to do that. They were out sitting around waiting for lambs to be born, for crying out loud. They had the curiosity, and you notice that shows up here in the psalm. Why don't we go figure out what this is? They had the curiosity. They had the initiative to investigate the godly. Let us now even go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I'm going to do a lot of connections with shepherds and pastors and your pastor. And notice again, for a pastor, that they have those same qualities. I hope they're supposed to. They're supposed to have the time just to study the Scriptures. Lots of times in our society, pastors work and have to carry another job. Praise the Lord, I'm retired Air Force, and I don't have to work. But you'd be amazed how much time it takes just to study the Word of God. How much time it takes, again, to get around and prepare messages that need preached, and to again, preach the whole Word of God, not leave any of it out. It's time-consuming. Here, these shepherds had time on their hands and the ability to do that. They had a curiosity. We get an education because we're forced to go to high school. And I just talk to some kids, and they can't wait till they're out of high school. They'll never go to another school again the rest of their life. Now listen, this is the first time in my life, at 67 years old, this is the last 3 years here, is the first time in my life that I've not been enrolled in college courses, that I've not been going to college courses or taken college, either video or in person. Or teach in college. I enjoyed that too, again. But again, as we look at that, again, there needs to be a curiosity, something that would drive a pastor into studying, into reading things that you wouldn't normally read. And that's one reason I enjoyed so much my education. They forced me to read books, for example, that I would never have read on my own. And so it's good for us that we have a curiosity for learning, for a pastor needs that to drive them into the Word. And then they had the initiative to investigate, to dig into things. And so these shepherds, again, are portrayals, again, of what God has even for pastors. And then I want to put this emphasis, do you have a pastor? God's Word says you need a pastor. Think about your kin that are out of church this morning. They need a pastor. They need someone that would break forth the bread of life and teach the Word of God. Think about people that are in apostate churches where some lady's giving them some homily this morning. And again, they need a pastor who could teach God's Word and be faithful. People need pastors. I've told many a person that said, well, I don't need to go to church. Listen, I don't care whether you go to church or not, but you need a pastor. And again, if you're a believer, you need to be in church and be under a pastor. The Bible says so. And so we'll look at that theme just here a little bit as we go through these slides as well. Looking at the importance of what a shepherd is and what a shepherd does. God reveals some interesting things about pastors. Its first mention is in Genesis chapter 4. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a pastor, okay? He was a keeper of the sheep. And we just learned that that means he was a pastor. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Strife among pastors is mentioned several times in the Bible. Genesis 13, and there was strife between the herdmen, Abram's, and herdmen, again, is that same word, pastor, of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And so again, understand that there's going to be strife among pastors, and I can go ahead and give witness that sure enough there is again. And again, as we see that, there's often good reason for that. Israel was a shepherd. Joseph asked his father, Jacob, which means the supplanter, the deceiver, if you remember his background. He asked his father to lie about his occupation. But curiously, the master liar refused this time to lie about being a pastor. And Genesis 46:34 tells of that account that he took his position as a pastor seriously, even though it was looked down upon by the world. And you can learn some lessons even there from Jacob. Jacob changed in his later life. And praise the Lord, people change. You know, some of the people you used to witness to have changed. And we need to renew witnesses to people. People change. Things happen in their lives. Their attitudes change. And we need, again, just to be a constant witness to recognize even that fact. The Bible makes many references to sheep with no shepherd. Numbers 27, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Again, Christians need to have a pastor. And here's some of the calling of a pastor, the requirements of a pastor. Ezekiel 34, we looked at in Sunday school, talking again about the importance of having a pastor and one that will not scatter the sheep. Zechariah 10, again, speaks of the importance of them needing a pastor because there was no shepherd. They were scattered. And then, of course, in Matthew 9, our Lord Jesus Christ wept and had compassion on the multitude because they were like sheep without a pastor. Bad shepherds in the negative again. And sometimes I think I preach this message, I'm preaching more to pastors. But that's all right. It gets all over my life again. It gives us some insight to some of the things that our shepherds go through, our pastors go through. And it reveals seven things in this passage about that God expects from His shepherds. First off, should not the shepherd feed the flock? Everyone here's got a Bible, and you can just go home and read your own Bible and learn your own lessons. But God didn't design it. That's not God's economy. God's economy is that you would be under a pastor, and a pastor would teach all and preach all of God's word. Pastors are teachers and preachers and teachers and pastors. Three roles that are there. It says here in Ezekiel 34, the diseased have ye not strengthened, a rebuke to pastors that weren't doing their job. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Again, another rebuke to the pastors. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. And again, there's people that are driven away. I've talked to a couple right here in Dresden that says, I'll never go to a church again because of what that pastor did to me or what that pastor said to me. And so they write it off. Listen, those are people that are driven away. And someone needs to hunt them down and bring them in. And again, that's the job of a pastor. Neither have ye sought that which was lost, being a soul winner. And so some challenges given here, seven of them. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. That's all a good checklist for what a pastor ought to be. Bad shepherds do great harm. Several verses here from Jeremiah. Many pastors have destroyed the vineyard, it's been said. My people have been lost sheep, and their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They're shepherds that are false teachers, that do not teach from God's word. And again, several warnings about bad pastors. Bad pastors will be held accountable. And let me just get a couple statements here on bad pastors. There are some out there. Again, when you bump into a bad pastor, it's not your job to, as a church, to vote him out of his pastor. God deals with pastors. And so churches want to be careful. I know in our society, churches think that they are, and they got a little board that controls what the pastor says and what he does. Praise the Lord, we've got none of that. Hallelujah. Again, understand that a lot of churches think that they have to control what's going on in the pastor. Listen, God's in control of that. He's God's man, and he answers to God. He does not answer to a church or a church vote. Again, and so just be considerate of that and understand that. I know, again, that there's been situations where a pastor needs to be removed. But boy, again, that's something that's not to be taken lightly. And so God has an abomination for pastors who don't do their job, and God deals with them. Sometimes we need to tiptoe around, be very careful in that light. Beverly and I have left a couple churches rather than deal with a pastor, just back away and pull away. It's not our job to fix God's pastors. Just be aware of that. Pastors, according to God's heart, have sheep that, I like this. Pastors are, that are doing their job according to God's heart have sheep that are well fed, that know the word of God. Sheep that fear no evil and have an assurance and a trust in God. A couple weeks I preached on waiting ago. I preached on waiting on God, and we decided that patience is the ability to trust God's timing. And boy, sometimes we need to work on our patience. But notice again that we can fear no evil. They are not dismayed, and they are not lacking. Remember what David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that's an aorist tense. That means I shall not be in a wanting condition. I'm not going to keep wanting and wanting in my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be a wanting in my life. And so again, we find some things about sheep even from their pastor. Another message, I think I've preached this, that there is a good shepherd, and Christ is the one shepherd. He is our shepherd. But here he's portrayed in three different ways in the scriptures. He is first of our good shepherd. And the good shepherd, what do we know about the good shepherd? I think it's John 12. Okay, John 12 says, "The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." And so if you turn to Psalms 22, you find the good shepherd, and there he's crucified. He giveth his life for his sheep. The great shepherd is mentioned, I think, in Hebrews. I probably have it here. The great shepherd is given in Hebrews, that we have a great shepherd of the sheep. And of course, that is altogether fitting with the next psalm, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." And then lastly, we have the chief shepherd that's going to come again. And notice again that when we consider that, that the Psalms 24, the next psalm, Psalm 22, 23, 24, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd, a good outline of the shepherds again that are in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The chief shepherd is going to come and be here as the shepherd that we read in Ezekiel this morning in Sunday school, the shepherd of all the sheep. They're all going to be under one shepherd, praise the Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Those shepherds in our Christmas story were heralds of the truth. God revealed to them things that he did not reveal to just anybody. He gave them time. He gave them curiosity. He gave them the initiative. And then he gave them the insights that he wanted to declare to all people. Even Christians need a pastor. Ephesians 4:11, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And every pastor needs to take very careful heed to be a shepherd, according to Jeremiah 3:15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." God uses shepherds and pastors as heralds of the truth, still does today. And so as we consider those things again, let's have a Merry Christmas. And as you read the shepherd's account, let's remember that they were heralds of the truth. And they again taught and preached and kept the ears just tingling for 30 years until Christ began his public ministry. And so as we consider those things, what a tremendous accounting they have in our Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you that we could worship today. I thank you again for your great love for us. I thank you for every accounting that we have here, the Christmas story. And I pray, Father, as we look at them, that we just marvel all the more in you, marvel again in your great love for us. And Father, that we grow closer to you this Christmas time, and that we, even ourselves, each one of us here that's been commissioned to preach the gospel to every creature as your disciple, Father, that we would be heralds like these shepherds. May we have the curiosity and the initiative to dig into your Christmas story here and even to share it with others as we learn more about your great love for us. We thank you and praise you, Father, for your hand on each one now. Thank you that we could worship on this Lord's Day, and pray again, Father, that you just touch our service in a special way, and touch our week in a special way. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we'll dismiss in song. I think it's 111. We started our Sunday school with 111. Let's close our service by invitation with 111. I think that should be Silent Night. Let's have a little silent and a bit of worship.
Let's do it. Let's go. What?
It's 90 pounds.